You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special minisode for Tomb Raider. Justin, are you ready to raid some tombs, baby?
I'd actually like to raid some tombs. That Would sounds you? Like a lot of fun. When I think of the idea of raiding tombs,
ooh,
sounds great.
You
sounds
just think fun. Of like Raiders Who wouldn't of the Lost Ark, where you want to put a bag of shit on a little lever switch while you steal a precious idol and outrun a big giant boulder.
Yeah,
while Williams, you know, score chases you down the cavern.
I mean, definitely. I
Yeah, sign me up for that experience, actually. We are, of course, talking about the brand new Tomb Raider, directed by Rar. Is that, Utog? Did I pronounce it right?
Utog? I think so. We sometimes have issues on actually pronouncing names of directors.
Denis Villeneuve.
Keep quiet. Denis.
Del Toro.
Del Toro. Like I said, I got called Justin Escobar the other day, and I'm like, there's
Justin
no bar.
Escobar.
There's no bar there.
Oh, my God. Of course, this is based on the reboot of the original Tomb Raider video game series that came out in 2013. So, you know, not based on, like, the original version of the game that the Angelina Jolie movies were based on. And Alicia Vikander, the Gog, Walton. Motherfucking Goggins popping up in this movie. Although I got to take issue with the Gog, man. I got to take issue with him right now, right up front. Motherfucker, you were a cop in the Shield for how many fucking years? What did you forget how to fucking hold a gun? Because every time I saw him holding a fucking gun in this movie, I wanted to punch him in the face because he held it like he was holding a limp dick in his hand.
I didn't even notice, dude.
Wow. Like, what the fuck he was doing. Like, dude, he played a cop on the Shield. I know he knows how to hold a fucking gun. What the fuck, Goggins? What the fuck? Oh, my God. You want to get in? Let's open the floodgates
well,
here, Justin.
Let's talk about what the movie's about for a minute so people that are not aware of what it's about, they'll understand a little bit. So, Alicia Vikander is Lara Croft. She embarks on a journey to her father's last known destination, hoping to solve a mystery of his disappearance. So he leaves her when she's a young girl, and she's gone for 7 years, and she's kind of living kind of a slightly reckless life. She's not really living up to her full potential. She's extremely intelligent, and, well, so shit happens, and then she ends up going on a journey to try to find her dad, or at least figure out what his research was leading to, and then... As Lysos always says, hijinks ensue. Yep. Yes.
I mean, that's pretty succinct. So I will pitch it over to you first, Justin, so you can let us know what you thought of The Raider of Tombs.
You know, I came into this movie with really no expectation at all. The original trailer that hit, it landed flat for me. I really didn't care about it. It didn't look like anything I was remotely interested in. And I'm not one of those guys, and this is going to be a part of the discussion at some point. I know you'll bring it up because you're a big gamer guy. Video game movies usually don't work. That's just a known fact, okay? Listen, you can say that you like Doom with The Rock all you want. I know a lot of people actually say they like that movie.
Top 10 of all time.
Legit. And I won't lie. Like, you know, the first Resident Evil, it's fine. Like, the first Silent Hill, there's a lot of cool stuff
in
there. But
you know what?
But they're not good.
False. Because I revisited the first Resident Evil with Fuzzy D over on Who Spiked the Puns.
I know you did, but that's not
me. And
that
movie does not fucking hold up at all.
It's fine.
Not even
close. I'm making the statement that, yes, you know what? I will watch the Super Mario Brothers movie any day of the week. And yes, I know it's shit.
Well, that's
I
know it's no, shit. No, top 10 of all time.
But I'll still watch it. I'll still, of course, well, I still enjoy it. But for me, I'm not walking into this going, this is a game adaptation, so it needs to be like the game. I didn't play the games. I don't know anything about the games. So all I really wanted from this was to have fun at the movies. And I'm going to be honest with you in the forefront, I had fun with this. I actually had a ball with this movie. I do have some issues with it, of course, as we always say, because you know what, Nick, I don't think we'll ever walk out of a review as the Epic Film Guys without saying, well, I had an issue with this.
Yeah, we gotta drop a deuce on something, man.
Yeah, that's just part of what we do. But for me, like, you know, I love Vikander. She's an Oscar winner. You know, I loved her in Ex Machina. And I think that she really steals the show here for me. I feel like without her in the center role, the film wouldn't be anything because I really loved her performance in the film. I don't know if the writing was really where it needed to be in all every aspect of it, but her physical presence and her physical performance and what she did with the role, I think was fantastic. And yeah, overall, first impression was, wow, I had a fun time at the movies.
Yeah, and this is kind of a tale of two movies for me, because once they got down to some Tomb Raiding, I was all about this movie. I thought the production design was outstanding. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was lit very, very well. I loved all the torchlight and all that kind of random stuff. You had the little traps.
How about those sets too, man? The sets were great. There was a lot of physical sets, dude.
The problem is this movie is a dumpster fire until that happens in it. And it's first of all, this fucking movie starts out with it put it off on a bad foot for me right away, because if you recall, Justin, the opening scene of the film is Vikander's Lara Croft boxing with another girl. And there are so many fucking cuts in this boxing match. Legit, even she's got the girl in a headlock and then they cut like four times in 1 second to different angles. Why? It makes the action scenes look terrible and fake and stupid and bullshit. It was just hot fucking garbo. Hot garbo. I hated the opening of this film.
Didn't notice at all. Didn't bother me one bit.
When I noticed it, like, it reminded me of Resident Evil 6, which had that same kind of action fight style. Now, they didn't do it all through the film, which I was very pleased with. They kind of let it die. But even they had the whole bike chase scene through fucking London. Did nothing for me. Like, the whole thing, loved I was it. Like, I'm watching it and I'm like, when the fuck are we going to get to raiding some tombs here?
I get it. No, I get what you mean. But you know what? Like, I liked that it felt like a little bit more of a modern, you know, I liked the whole bike scene. I thought it was fun. I thought it was energetic. And we got a little bit of who this person is prior to her raiding tombs. I get what you mean, because the movie is called Tomb Raider. And I know we'll get to
I think when that happens. And I think that the opening of the film is meant to try to establish, you know, some of her skills, some of the different things she can do as a survivalist, which is fine.
Yeah, her
which
agility,
is perfectly fine. But the problem is that it rushes you through all these story beats. Oh, that she's got a dad. Oh, her dad's missing. Oh, she finds his, you know, missing thing. Oh, she's the heir apparent to this huge fortune. Oh, I don't want to sign the papers. Next scene, she's signing the papers. Oh, wait, here's this puzzle box. It rushes you through these things way too quickly. I never felt the relationship materialize to where I gave a fuck about it. And I'm talking about between Richard Croft and Lara Croft. That's her father, Dominic West. I never felt that relationship gel. They tried to flash back to it 1,000 times during the movie where she was various ages talking to him. I never bought it. I never cared. I never felt like they were connected ever the whole movie. And I felt like for a father-daughter, I feel like they should have spent a lot more time on that at the beginning of the film, as opposed to this radical rebel Lara Croft who's fucking racing bikes and boxing people. Like, it just didn't sell the character to me at all, and it didn't sell the relationship with the father at all, which a large portion of the plot of this film is predicated upon.
I'll have to disagree with you. Not all the way, but in the sense that I really liked the boxing scene. I liked how it opened. It added a great energy to the film for me. I really want to know who this person is, because I don't play the games. I don't care if this is about the games or if it's remotely even close to the games. I just want to see a good movie. And I liked that we saw this fit, but she's failing a lot of the time, and she is trying to challenge herself, but not in the ways that I think she needs to. And I liked the bike scene. I thought it was very well shot. I thought it was fun. It was energetic, especially being a bike enthusiast myself. And I have been hit. And when she gets hit by a fucking car, I felt that shit, you know? I just thought it was a really fun scene for me. Like, again, I'm not expecting grade A material out of Tomb Raider, Nick. And it's not that I let my expectations down, but I just wanted to have fun with it. And I think the bike scene was really fun. And it was a good glimpse into who this character is prior to her jumping on a fucking boat and saying, "Hey, I'm going to go raid some tombs." But, you know, I think it's just because Vikander is so good in it and she's so good to look at, I guess. But she really has this presence to her that where I'm like, I really just want to see what you're going to do next. I get what you're saying about, things move along quickly. But for me, I took that as good pacing. I took it as it's moving the story along where we know what we want to get to. So let's get there. Like, I don't think anyone wants to sit.
Inorganic. This film was only 100 minutes. It only clocked in at 100 minutes. So I really, you can excise for me, honestly, personally, and the whole father character and the whole father subplot, not from the games. They wrote it for the fucking film, and I felt like it was written for the film because it felt like Hollywood schmaltz to me. Like, it didn't feel like it was anything that came out of the game. Now, spoiler alert, I've never played this game, but my son has.
You've never played Tomb Raider ever?
No.
None of them?
But I did get a Tomb Raider history lesson from Kenor, who, you know, went to see the film with me, my son. And, you know, he gave me the rundown of everything that was and wasn't. This is very loosely adapted from the games. It's basically the same kind of idea, but a completely different story to get there. Like, completely, it's very, very loosely adapted, so you can't even really, like, go at it from the adaptation angle. But, like I said, I did not buy the relationship between the father and daughter, mostly because most of the time when they were on screen, they felt more like actors reading lines to me than people that were actually
living in those moments. No, I agree with you. I can see that, especially the adults. I think that the better scenes are with Dominic West and, I don't know, the young actress that played young Lara Croft. I think those were more effective.
The little girl, yeah.
I mean, because when she shows up and she actually sees him, like, that whole scene was kind of awkward to me. And I'm like, this doesn't feel the way that I think it should.
Yeah.
But let's get back to, okay, so we see the opening. She finds out her father's research. She's like, well, hey, I'm going to go try to find out what he was doing and try to finish it. Or we don't really even know exactly what she's going to do, but she wants to go. And she finds a way to get on a boat.
Like, well, I guess I need to go raid some tombs now. Like, it was almost legitimately that tongue in cheek where it was like, okay, now the plot needs to go here. So I got to find some reason to make it go here.
But that's what these movies are, though.
Extremely inorganic. It just,
but that's what those movies are.
Feel real.
I look back to a lot of other movies like this, and I'm like, you can compare it to plenty other action adventure movies that have come out in the past 10, 15 years, and rarely are they ever any more complex in their story than this. I feel like that's why people are calling the paint by numbers, and I understand their mentality when they say that. But for me, I'm like, what more do you want out of this?
Well, I think
I don't know.
Think I want less. I want less is more, because I really think that you could have started this on the boat or with her going to Hong Kong to catch the boat and just had it be that story forward. I don't think you needed anything that preceded it in the film whatsoever.
Yeah, I disagree.
I think because Vikander's so good, and I think there's a lot of great scenes on the island, and they could have written more where she's really tested as a character. Her strength is really, really tested. Her will to survive is really, really tested, which are some great scenes, by the way. I really think those do an effective enough job of selling who this character is that you don't need the stuff in London that comes before. I just think it's poor setup to stuff that is not important to the plot of the film.
What I like about it, Nick, is this is a movie that, much like, not even bringing up Wonder Woman for the fact that this is a strong female character. And I think they want to show that, hey, you know, this woman is training hard. She's doing all these things. You know, it's showing that you can be something more than just, you don't have to have a shield and superpowers to be a hero. You can be fit and have agility and endurance and be able to do all these physical things. Yeah. And I personally, as a fitness enthusiast, like, I liked seeing that. I get that it didn't work for you, but for me, I liked all of that.
I just think the stuff that does that, though, is better on the island. I think the stuff of her, when she goes to climb that fucking cliff, like, she just straight up is like, nope, I'm climbing this fucking cliff.
But I would never believe she could do that unless I knew that what she did prior to that. I'm not going to believe that just anyway. Random
chick. I could have believed it.
Not just by the way she looks. No, I need to know someone actually. I want to see that it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger all jacked up, you know, in fucking Commando. I'm like, oh, that guy can throw a guy off a cliff and whatever. Like, this is something I want to see where she came from a little bit, because I don't know the character. I don't know anything about her. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
I just think you could have expanded the island story. Like, that whole thing could have just been the whole movie and just expand it more and just give it more depth than it had. I think they're just trying to connect it,
Nick, to the real person, like to the regular Joe Schmo walking in the theater, or even a lot of the female audience where they're going in. Like,
with you. I agree that they probably were trying to make that connection to try to get a little closer connection to the audience, which is fine. I just say it didn't work.
Hey, look at this real woman that's doing these things, and hey, she's, you know,
it just didn't work
thrust
for me.
Into this
it,
story.
I just think she's a badass, but make no mistake about it. Vikander is far and away the best thing about this film. Far and away.
Definitely. So she gets to the island. I mean, we obviously see a really I would definitely call it a generic like boat crashing sequence when she gets to the island. The whole thing I got to tell you about this that bothered me the most, and I guess a lot of people were talking about that the Tomb Raider games have magic in them. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything. There was anything supernatural about them. So this was news to me. But the whole research that her father is doing is about Himiko, a mythical queen of Japan, if I recall.
Yep,
Japanese, who has the power over life and death. And, you know, we see this ancient artwork of her and she's like murdering thousands of people. And so that's what his research was based on, finding this corpse basically and trying to keep it hidden so that it can't get out and in parentheses destroy the world. Like that for me, throwing that out there, like why does it always have to be destroy the world? Why can't they just do it without even mentioning it? Like that just irks me. Like everything always has to be, well, the whole world is in danger because of this one little thing. What?
Yeah.
Why? Why is it always about the fucking whole world? Why can't it be contained a little bit less, like to a smaller? I don't know, man.
I don't want to spoil necessarily like exactly how that plot plays out either.
No, we don't have to.
I do think that it was clever. I think that it was a clever way to take the climax of the film, like kind of, you know, the climax of the film when they reach the vault and everything like that. I think that that was a really clever way to take it. So I was actually kind of happy with that part of it. Like I said, once they get to the island, I think the all of a sudden, like this film kind of becomes a different film to me. It becomes a lot more fun. It becomes a lot more investing. Like I care more about this character, like her, like she becomes so strong in the face of this adversity and she becomes so determined to survive and so determined to find out like what's going on and et cetera. It just becomes so much better of a movie to me. And I think that's why I look back on that first act as harshly as I do, because I think once you get to the island, the movie is so much better.
You're right. And I totally agree with you. No, for real, because there's nothing more that I want than seeing her in that tank top all dirty. And not saying this in a sexual way. I mean, I kind of am, but not, you know, she went through very strong training. You see her in the beginning, like she's ripped, dude. Like she went through a lot of physical training for this role. She looks great and she's not made up or anything. She's not made to look, you know, she's not objectified or anything. She's just a strong woman.
She's strong.
And I loved everything she did. Once you get to the island, it's the environment that we want to be in. And they did a great job, fantastic job with the practical environments that they shot in, the actual jungle locations. The sets, as I said earlier, are fantastic, brilliant production design in this thing. I mean, I agree with you. It's when you get to the island, I'm like, this is the movie that I'm wanting to see. I thought it was actually visually done pretty stunning at certain points.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to be honest with you. I know you like the Goggins. I felt he was, you know, as run-of-the-mill as they come when it comes to villains. But it didn't really bother me because I wasn't really expecting a super layered villain in this kind of movie.
I think the problem is, and this is, follow my line of thinking here, but he starts off as a really menacing, really effective villain, and then they kind of marginalize him. And he doesn't really do a whole lot. And he, you know, like they're all the bad guys and the good guys all kind of get teamed up together at one point. Yeah. And they're all just doing this thing. And then he kind of comes back into his villainous ways, like right at the end. But like there's a whole huge section of the movie where he's just kind of, you know, there. He's not doing the villain thing. And I think that really takes a lot of the wind out of his sails. I think if you keep the kind of menace, because like he's a brutal fucking dude when you first meet him. So I think if you keep that villain.
Oh, yeah. The first scene, I felt literally on the edge of my seat, man, because we know how good he is.
Yeah.
We know what the Goggins can do.
That character that way for the whole film, I think he's a much more effective villain. But I think they just marginalized him. Like the plot just didn't need him for a while, really, to be honest. So he was just kind of there.
Well, like, as a member of the group. I got to ask you this, man. He is just there. And I have to ask you this, like, what is his real motivation? We don't really find that out until maybe not as a spoiler, but like at the end of the movie, we kind of get an idea what it is. But he's just like, I've been here for 7 years. And like, I got a family. I have two beautiful daughters like you. And they mention like kind of why he's there. But I'm like, well, why are you there? Like when you first get introduced to him. And I'm like, I don't really know what you're supposed to be doing. I think this is one of those
things. And
what are you doing?
Well, Knorr, what the hell? Knorr kind of filled me in on this one because from the game, the character of Matthias in the game is trapped on the island. Like they can't leave. They can't get off the island. So the whole point of trying to find the Empress thing is so they can leave the island. And like, right. It makes more sense in context if you kind of put that there. Like, he's trapped on the island because his employer basically just won't come get him. And they can't get their way out because they have no boats or anything. So they can't navigate their way off of it.
I get that.
Like,
I get that.
I just think you're right. It's kind of a shitty, like, well, this sucks, you know, kind of thing. It's just like, what?
The funny thing is,
they have like a seemingly endless supply of like guns and explosives and shit, even though they're just left.
How are they getting their food? When they got set down on that island, were they sent with fucking 7 years worth of canned food? Maybe whatever the fuck she was eating,
drops periodically, or canned something peaches like that, or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know, I'm going weird. Too deep into that. Like, I'm not trying.
It's
to
one of those
nitpick,
things where they kind of adapted it similarly to the game, but it doesn't work the way that they adapted it. Probably because I think if you just make it like in the game, it's my understanding that the Empress or whatever controls weather. And they can't leave the island because of the storms that constantly ravage it.
And we see some storms. We actually see at night that there's a lot of storms on the island.
So that's kind of an idea. That's kind of an idea that they bring through from the games, but they don't really flesh it out that way because that's not what the Empress does in the film. So it doesn't make any sense. They're just there. They're just hanging out there. I mean, if you're the employer, let's put it this way. If you're an employer and you're trying to find this whatever, and this dude's been there for 7 years and hasn't found dick, don't you find another guy who maybe might be able to do the job better and send him in?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Don't you or kill, or kill okay, the dude off or do
this
something.
This motherfucker's just not working out. We need to find somebody else. At some point, like at what point are you just so inept at your job that you can never do anything that you get fired?
I know. But again, I think we're getting to that point of, you know, realism versus, well, we are talking about an action adventure. Yeah, you just have to.
It's one of those things where we're asking too many questions about it. That's what it is.
I think it is. You know, but when we start getting into the nitty gritty of the action and things happening, I found myself extremely happy with it. I had a lot of fun with it. I really loved how they integrated what you would expect Lara Croft from the games to do, even though I haven't played them, like with her jumping off of this and climbing on that and hanging on this. There's a great suspense scene where she jumps off a cliff and she's going down the river and she catches herself on an old rusted plane and she's caught in the plane. And it's like a whole suspenseful scene of her trying to stay in the plane and get out of it and save herself. And I really liked that scene. I mean, it is run of the mill. We've seen it in other movies, but I really enjoyed the way that it was shot and the way that it was done. Yeah.
I think this is one of those
interesting situations.
Yeah, I think this is one of those game adaptations where I think they really nail kind of the game character, like the aspects of it. And I mean, visually, I said this when the trailers came out. Like, this looks, if you go on YouTube and watch cutscenes from the Tomb Raider reboot in 2013, it looks exactly like the game, like literally exactly like it. Like, they really went all out to capture the visual aesthetic of this world and of this character. And I think Vikander does a great job of capturing the essence of the character. Lara Croft is that kind of a female character where she is badass. She is unstoppable. She will just kick every ass and take every name, you know, and I love that. And I think it's
but
really,
they didn't
really
make her invincible either.
Here.
No, yeah, they didn't make her invincible, and I liked that. They made her very human. You know, yep. She gets her ass whooped a lot. We see, you know, she gets at one point injured pretty badly. She has to kind of, step it up and move on from that. And, you know, I like that she gets her ass kicked a lot. She's not this superhuman. She's not a superhero in this. She's just a tough, almost like a Rambo-like character. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I really loved all the action in it. I thought it was all well done. I thought the CG was pretty well done as well. There was never a moment for me personally, Nick, where I was like, that looks bad. I thought all the environments were done well. And let's get to the, you know, we're not going to talk about major spoilers, but let's get to the tomb raiding because it does take a while to get there. But like, you know, it is the whole end of the movie. What did you think about it when it actually got there?
I loved it. I thought that, like I said, I think that was when the production design was at its strongest. I absolutely loved all of those sets. I think they were absolutely fantastic. And like I said, the climax of the film, like the kind of way that they play out the entire plot of finding the Empress, I think it was really clever. And I think it was a really nice way to spin it. So I really, really enjoyed that. I still, you know, well, I don't want to spoil that part either. So I just, you know, there's just things about it that I just didn't like or didn't work for me. But I think overall, like the Tomb Raiding stuff, especially, like, you know, it was lit very well. It was shot very kind of atmospherically, and it worked perfectly well. I think, like I said, I think that's why I'm as hard on the first act of this film as I am, because the rest of it was this good.
And I get it.
This could have been a really great video game adaptation if they would have just given us more of the stuff that we get in the video games, like more Tomb Raider type. And like, the reboot isn't like that either. The reboot isn't just her in caves the whole time either. It's her out on this jungle island with bows and arrows, shooting at people, like doing all this different stuff. Like, it's like, if you would have just left the film there, just
we got to see that. We got to see all that. Damn it. See, I'm fine with that. I like that they're trying to connect it, because a lot of people aren't going to come in. I mean, let's face it. A lot of people aren't coming into this anyway because of Black Panther, and it's not going to make its money back.
Well, I think it's got that stigma too, Justin, because video game movies, and I think this is sitting rotten on Rotten Tomatoes right now, like barely. I don't think it's super rotten or anything, but it's just another video game adaptation that's very lukewarmly received by critics. It's very middling. It's got a very mixed reaction from critics. So a lot of people see it and they're just like, oh, it's another stupid video game movie. It's just whatever. Who cares? We'll see it sometime. Whatever. Fuck it. You know?
Well, the way that I put it, Nick, is it didn't reinvent the wheel for action adventure films. And I don't know what film possibly can year 2018 or even from here on out. But for me, as I said earlier on, like I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting a masterpiece. So I think I let my guard down a little bit.
A film doesn't have to reinvent the wheel either, though. A film has to be effective at what it's doing. Well, and a film just has to be really, really good.
What this did for me, man,
you know, it's kind of like I talk about it all the time, but like a comedy, like think of a comedy. A comedy is a comedy is a comedy. They all follow exactly the same beats, but it's the crew and the actors and it's everything involved in it that takes it to another level and really uses that same old formula in a great way. And I think this does in a lot of ways, but I think it holds itself back in some ways too.
I think it does more bad, or excuse me. I think it does more good than bad. Definitely more good than bad. Because again, I had fun.
I would agree with that.
I was smiling.
But barely.
I wouldn't. No, barely. I don't even think that. I mean, because of the fact that, I don't know, man. Like, I guess my expectations and what I'm thinking about what a modern action adventure film is, and you never saw The Mummy last year.
No.
You know, and I equate to a lot of what I love about Stephen Sommers' first Mummy movie in this, like when they're actually in tombs and the sets are great and the action in those scenes is good and it's suspenseful and there's good gunfire. Like, there's a lot of people getting blown away in this with machine guns, and it's actually done in a brutal way. Yeah. And I actually liked that. And,
brutal for PG-13 anyway.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the things that I'm looking for were in this movie. And that's why for me, it was more good than bad. And I guess I could, you know, because I want to be honest with you. I don't really give a fuck much about the father daughter relationship. I just want to see the Tomb Raider chick do her Tomb Raider and climb on shit.
That was my problem.
Beat people
I didn't
up.
Give a fuck about it either, but they put it in the movie and tried to make me care about it. That's why I
exactly.
hated it. I think if you excise that whole part of it from the film, I think it's a lot better film as well.
What I really actually got out of this the most, and we can end on this note if you want to, is that the best of this movie that I saw that I enjoyed led me to say, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing more of this in a sequel. I wouldn't mind seeing this character that I really enjoyed seeing on the big screen do it again in a sequel and see it improved upon and see what we could do next with it. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen now because this is not going to make its money back. It's not going to do anything really well at the box office. So this was another experiment, another
failed video game adaptation, unfortunately. So I'm going to
stand for rating on this game. And you have an Oscar winner in the main role, too. And you have a, you know, what it's are you going to do?
It's sad. Well, I'm going to stand for rating on this. I'm going to give it the lowest possible, like, recommending rating I can. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. I don't think the film's completely devoid of merit. I just really hate the first act, and I really hate how forced the father-daughter relationship is. But if you stick through that, and if you just kind of hold on and get to the island and get to the actual island stuff where she's running around and all that, that part of the movie is really good. And I think just hang on and just try to get there. But still, 6 out of 10. It could have been so much better than it was.
And you know what, Nick? I'm not that far off from you, my friend. I'm going to slap a 7 out of 10 on this. I thought it was good. I don't think it was very good. I don't think it was great. And as I said earlier, it didn't reinvent the wheel. But like, again, and I don't turn my brain off for these movies. I don't like that response. That's not what the epic film guys are in some aspects. Maybe, depending on what it is. But with this, I really just wanted to see good performances, a fun time, great locations, great sets, all that stuff was good. And Junkie XL actually did a pretty cool score to this too. So all around 7 out of 10 for me. I do recommend it. If you're interested in just seeing a good old action adventure film with a great strong female lead played by a fantastic Oscar winning actress. I mean, I don't know what else I could ask for more. Maybe a director that's a little bit more experienced. I mean, Roar. You should probably put, like, dude, it's funny because the MGM logo shows up at the beginning of this. Right? They should have just put the lion roar when it showed his name on screen. But I mean, he's done some stuff, but he hasn't done anything like huge. So maybe if we get a sequel, I mean, I know we won't, but if we ever did it with someone a little more experienced. Exactly. Hey, who knows? Gareth Edwards, get your ass in there. I think that it was, it had potential.
It did have potential, but that's it. That's our Tomb Raider review minisode. Thank you guys all so much for listening. Make sure you check out episode 136, where we're going to talk about the Avengers Infinity War, the new trailer, and we're going to talk about the Fantastic Beasts 2 trailer and a ton, and I mean a ton of news, especially about live stream for The Cure 2.0. So until next time, I am Nick.
I'm Justin.
And we will see you
at the movies.
Check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.